Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 24 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 180. Today, JR asks, I'm colorblind, so I tend to avoid color in my descriptions. My editor warns me to focus on learning to be more descriptive and working through it. What advice could you give on the topic? I would love to hear you guys answer that on your next podcast. How about for other sensory lacks like deafness, blindness, etc.? Well, JR, there's a few things you can do on the colorblind thing. First of all, description is not just a single sense. Color is one aspect of one of your five major senses. There's actually about eight senses. The rest of them have to do with being able to sense atmospheric pressure, being able to sense the movement of organs inside your body, stuff like that. Really esoteric stuff that exists, but that exists usually below the level of our conscious awareness. So the first thing I'd advise is to incorporate the other senses and to flesh out a lot of richness in those areas. The second is that you can actually get around using color most of the time if you're determined not to use it, because you can use brightness, contrast, other sorts of things like that. And then to fill in the color palette, you can use color words that you know are there for the things around, such as even though you can't see it if you're red-green colorblind, you know that grass is green when it's growing and it's brown when it's not because you've read about it in science books and that sort of thing. The experience of seeing those colors for people that can see them is real and palpable, and it creates emotional resonances, and you can use those resonances even if you don't feel them yourself. You can make analogies. Green grass on the hillside tends to make people feel spry and alive because it means things are growing and whatnot. It's a really primal thing, and although you may not get that from seeing green grass, you might get it from smelling fresh flowers or from the smell of growing grass in a field, or that sort of thing. So you can make analogies between emotional experiences you do have and emotional experiences you don't have access to, and use those to bridge the gap so that you can use the sensory cues the rest of your audience has access to in order to control their perception and emotional response in a given scene. And you can actually use color like that all the time. You know that from your end of things that a gray day is significantly more dour than a bright day with a blue sky, and if you're red-green colorblind, you'll still be able to see blue. So you've got access to those kinds of things as well. Brightness and contrast have a lot to do with how people perceive and understand color in the first place, and that's something you've got complete access to with your basic sensory apparatus. The other thing is that even though you don't see colors, like with the grass, you know what a lot of colors are. So basically, unless you're describing an artwork, or you're writing books that foreground something like fashion design, then you're going to be describing things with colors and whatnot that you can learn about and read about pretty easily. You know that most jeans are blue, even though you can't see blue. You know that leather jackets come in tan and brown and black, even though to you, they're just different shades of gray. And you can use these things without really worrying about coming off false, because they're background textural things. Where you might get in trouble is if you're trying to describe a carefully color-coordinated outfit, and you put, like, neon orange and lime green together with fall brown or something like that. There are color combinations that are really jarring and garish, and you don't want to accidentally describe one of those, and the easiest way to do that is just to avoid those kinds of descriptions. In terms of understanding the emotional resonances of different colors and color palettes, there's a book out there called Color, A Natural History of the Palette, and it takes you through not just the development of dyes and the history of color and its social function throughout different cultures in the world, which it does. It also gets into some of the interesting things like how different cultures can see different colors than each other. people groups that live full-time in forest generally can't distinguish blues very well, but they can distinguish thousands more shades of green than someone who grows up under an open sky. The Greeks couldn't see blue for blue, so the sea was the wine dark sea, and the sky was copper-colored. Not burnished copper, but the color of corroded copper. And it's a pretty close analog, and it's because they didn't have the cultural demand for fine gradations in seeing the color blue, and they didn't even have a word for it. Their expectations in that respect allowed their neurological hardware to wire their perception of blue into different colors than what we would call blue. So that book goes into all kinds of stuff like this, and it will help you understand color and be able to write about it as if you experienced it directly without actually experiencing it directly. With a lot of other disabilities, particularly sensory disabilities, the approach is the same. Helen Keller was able to write wonderful things that brought great visual and auditory images to mind, even though she was blind and deaf. And it's because she was communicating the experiences in her own life, and she was able to communicate them in such a way that they created sensory impressions on people that she was not able to experience herself. The plethora of senses that we have and the multitudinous facets of each sense gives us access to descriptive language that goes far beyond what most of us use in everyday life or even in everyday writing. Most of us get very content with the handful of stock images and metaphors that we have in our heads, and we just sort of riff on them endlessly. But if you push out into areas looking for new and different ways to say things, you're going to start developing aspects of your voice that bring a richness that wouldn't otherwise be afforded to you, whether you have a full range of sensory apparatuses or not. Anyway, I hope that's useful to you. It sounds like you've got kind of a fun challenge in front of you. I hope you kick some serious ass with it. And I'll see you tomorrow. NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives license. Remember that now through December 22nd, you can get a book bundle filled with books on writing, craft, and business and discipline at storybundle.com/nano. 11 books, including one of my own, all dedicated to helping you write better, faster, and manage your business more effectively so that you have more time to write better and faster. Check it out now while there's still time at storybundle.com/nano.